Some of you looking at me like, what has Brother Nealon drug up now? Oh, my. I hope you get over it before the service is over, though. I really do. Praise the Lord. It is an honor to be here in their stead. We miss them. We love them. And we appreciate them. I can't say this everywhere I go, but I can certainly say it here, that your pastor and wife, I've known them both since there's a separation in our age, and I have known them since they were much, much younger. Brother Nealon before he was ever a teenager, and Sister Nealon as well. Knew their families, knew their background, knew their pursuit of the things of God, and I would be honored to have them as my pastor. I surely would. Praise the Lord. I hope some of you feel that way as well. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. I know Wednesday is sometimes a difficult day, especially if you've been out in the hot sun or been busy doing things, whatever. Distractions come, and it's time to make supper, put leftovers out or something of the sort, and then to church and spend a little while. The kind sister reminded me that there was a clock here on the back wall, and she said, I don't know if you pay attention to clocks or not, and I said, well, I do my best. So I'm going to do my best to talk as briefly as possible, to communicate, I hope, something that will be beneficial to you. From the book of 2 Corinthians, you may remain seated for the reading of the word, 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, and verse 17. When you found it, would you say amen? Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Just a thought here tonight. We'll call this new thinking about you. New thinking about you. As Pentecostals, so many of us were raised in kind of the old days where there was a lot of activity in church that was going on. A lot of prophesying, a lot of speaking in tongues, a lot of running the aisles, a lot of falling down, a lot of shouting, and so on and so forth. That was equated to the Lord's approval, the Lord's pleasure, and especially if you or me personally felt that, then it was affirming to me that He does love me after all, and the Holy Ghost is alive and well in me. But most of us have lived long enough now to realize that I don't shout my hair down every day. I may not shout it down every month. I may not shout it down in 6 months or a year. I'm going to worship. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be faithful. And the tragic part to me about Pentecost is that we have been so focused on our feelings, the feelings in a service, the feelings while preaching is going on or while singing is being sung, that if it is not at a certain pitch, then we put it to the side and say, well, you know, something's wrong here. The Lord is not moving. It is an error, a grievous error for me to do that, because the Word is what I am to live by. The Word provides the boundaries of my thinking. It provides the boundaries of my living, if you will. And so when I don't have the appropriate number of feelings that I think I should have, or that yesteryear told me I should have, I should come back to the Bible. And I know that we say we love the Bible. I know that we have multiple copies, many of us, in our homes. We have perhaps maybe two or three different translations of the Bible, and we endeavor to read the Bible through, and those are wonderful things. But I'm talking about when the chips are down, when pressures of life have surmounted against me, and I am too tired to feel anything. I can't even bust a hallelujah. I'm worn out. I am exhausted. There are people that have to take care of loved ones and so on. And that becomes an endless exercise in weariness. And sad to say that in some places in Pentecost, if you're not busting a hallelujah pretty frequently, then we need to get you around the altar to pray through. And that's really not the case maybe at all. But the case might be to return to the pages of the Word of God and look at what he said about me. How many of you, I'm not going to say that. I have seen the power and the effects of someone saying to someone else something positive to that person when that person has nothing positive in appearance. I have a very dear friend that I love to be with because I'm telling a story or something like that, and he turns to me and he said, "Well, I am confident that you are going to take care of that and you're going to do it in a powerful way." And I thought, well, I mean, how do you say, shut up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that sounds so good. Tell me more if you can, right? And so my brother is having some physical difficulties, was in town this past week, and he was telling me that, you know, he'd been to the doctor, well, the doctor wanted to see him again, and this looked bad and that looked bad. And I just, my friend has really helped me along with the word of the Lord. But, and so I told my brother, I said, you know, it's all going to work out well. Well, how do you know that, you know? Well, the Bible says we have what we say. And most of us, what we have now is what we have been saying. I remember coming up in the church, and we had a prayer room, small, probably 14 by 14, and there'd be about 20 of us young fellas in there. And we'd be, actually it was a primary class, and the chairs were those little bitty things. And we were all sitting on those. And we were praying, and, you know, it just didn't take much volume to make it sound like it was the upper room. I mean, it just, it was reverberating off of those walls. And, man, we come out of there stoked. I mean, it was, there's no telling what's going to happen tonight. We liable to walk on water tonight, I'm telling you for sure. And but then when we did not get to get in that room, there were some of us, including myself, that we thought, well, what's wrong with my salvation? Lord, have you left me? I've waked up mornings and felt so hopeless. Just absolutely forsaken. Felt that way. And even brushing my teeth didn't help. Gargling with Scope or Listerine didn't change it. And I tell you what, it's bad when that doesn't change, when you get that first good cup of black strong coffee. I mean, something's wrong here. I mean, I've seen a restoration happen after just a couple of swigs of hot black coffee. Changed everything. But here's the thing that I have learned, and I had to learn it the hard way, because years go by and I'm paying attention to what is very, very susceptible to the elements of this world. My feelings are susceptible to my circumstances. My feelings are susceptible to body chemistry. Blood sugar can depress the fool out of you. It's going the wrong way. And if you do not recognize what is going on and cling to the word of God, what he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah, but I haven't been praying. It doesn't change the fact that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new baby that's born may not always behave properly, may not always exhibit the kind of attitude that we want, but we don't throw the baby out. We don't change his name. Why? Because he's part of the family. And every one of you here tonight are part of the family of God. And I'm going to tell you this, because I see people looking at me like, you're wrong. Because we live so long by those domineering feelings, and often they're supported by the dark side. Satan and demons are supporting that. Come on. People that come that have sinned, they come back and they ask the Lord to forgive them, but they don't feel immediately any different. It throws them, and they say, "Oh my God, I have ruined it. I've cast it all away. I have thrown it down." But the truth of the matter is, 1 John 1:9, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And if we will confess our sin, hear that? That's the recipe. The recipe is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, period. Have you ever been to a particular church service or a particular city function or something like that when it's time to honor somebody and give them an award, and you really don't know them, you really don't care what they've done, but you clap because everybody else clapped? And you can't wait to quit. I think that if we've sinned and we confess our sin to him, that regardless of how we feel after we have confessed, that we ought to begin to clap our hands, or we begin to worship the Lord and give him thanks and say, "Lord, I don't feel a whole lot right now, but your word said this has been done." And there's a lot of us that will not permit ourselves to feel or to enjoy too much because we've not been living the life. Whew, got quiet on that one. So I can't permit myself to be exuberant because my children know that I did some stuff, said some stuff. And what would they think if I got out in the aisle, just began to just have a good time in the spirit? It could be a lesson to them that you believe in the word of the Lord, that I'm forgiven, and that you go to them and say, "Please forgive me for what I said, what I did, how I misbehaved, all right? But I believe that I am forgiven, and that's the reason I was out in the aisle rejoicing in the Lord." Folks, I will tell you, I was raised, we were world-class, our family is world-class warriors, champions, trophies. And if you didn't worry about something, you didn't have enough sense to get it out of the rain. And to just take the Lord at his word, where he said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." It's sort of humorous. You may ask her about it sometime, but Sister Neelan had an aunt who was forever late to church. They said she'll be late to her funeral. And she was my Sunday school teacher, and she harped constantly on the word of the Lord. She had an unsaved husband. She had two unsaved sons and one daughter in the church. And she focused on the scripture. And if there was a time, old time testimony service, everybody else be getting up and, you know, bless the devil, bless his holy name for all he's put me through this week. Y'all pray for me. I make heaven my home, get your skirt and sit down. Amen. And so, but she would stand up and have the audacity to quote a chapter out of the Bible. I mean, we're trying to follow the moving of the Spirit here. And you just, you know, parroting out this chapter. Okay. But her oldest son, a year older than me, he asked me to come over and spend the weekend with him one time. And he wasn't so bad at that time. My parents gave me permission. I went to be with him and her. She was fixing meal. His name was Lacey. It is Lacey. And I hope to goodness he never hears this. But anyway, we were sitting there about to eat, just Lacey and myself, and she was serving us. And she said to him, not mine, he's living on the beach a lot. He was smoking dope and a few other things. And so she said, Brother Lacey is going to bless the food. Excuse me? Because, I mean, you know where I come from, unless you are really straight and narrow, you're not going to be called brother. You may be, you know, whatever. But anyway, Brother Lacey, he said, Mother, I'm no brother, and I'm not in the church. And she looked at me and said, the Lord is bringing Brother Lacey right into the church, right in front of him. And it was years later that I found out what she was doing. She was speaking in the face of evil circumstances. And you know what? A few years later, blew us all away. Lacey got in the church. Praise the Lord. So don't be afraid to stick with the word of God. Mark 11, 23, 24, you have what you say. You say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. Doubt not in your heart. Well, you say, well, that's where I miss it. I doubt my heart. Well, you know what? Just keep on saying it. After a while, you'll believe it, and then you'll get it. Praise God. Amen. So, and then a lot of us have, and I started this a moment ago, we can't really get into things because we're living under a rule of condemnation. Condemnation rules our life. But the fact of the matter is a lot of us are not, we're too lazy to change that. We know how to change that, and that is just get in the presence of the Lord and obey what he tells us to do. Amen. Spend a little time with him. And so many of us have been raised under that huge, huge, enormous, gigantic, the expectations of the Lord. And we go to some conferences and we are not affirmed at all. We are, we're beat down and you're not praying enough. And they hold up people that are praying enough. And you leave there and you think, my God, how in the world can I ever measure up to that? Something came to me the other day. How many of you know the feeling of, whether it's in the summer, the spring, fall, winter, that you get away with your family, with your spouse, you get to get away. And that first day, you're going down the road, and there's such a feeling of, wow, no dishes to wash. Huh? No clothes to wash. No vacuuming to do for the next week or 10 days or 2 weeks. How many of you have ever felt that? Come on, lift your hands. It's not a trick question. You felt that. Wow. And the thought that came to me is this, is on that day that you're driving away and you get 300 miles away and that exhalation of relief, that's how you ought to feel every day in your walk with the Lord. Well, are we making any progress here tonight? We were trained by some of those who prayed loud and long. Loud and long. And longer and louder. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to do about that. I mean, as a young man, we'd get together and we'd have those prayer meetings and things of that sort. And I would listen to my last pastor, esteemed man of God. I would wake up early in the morning at their home. And I would hear him in the living room, and he would pray, and he'd call out the names of people that were in need. He'd call out their name, and then he'd just be quiet. I mean, we're supposed to be praying, after all. I came into a place when while I was pastoring, that I really was afraid that I was going to have what some would call a nervous breakdown, an emotional breakdown. I felt like that my sanity was just hanging by a thread. And I thought, now how can I serve the Lord in this condition? He has no use for me in this condition. And I believe I'm speaking to people who have been at that place before. You come into church, and if you're too quiet, they want to get you by the arms and pump you. Get you going, fired up. And I would come to my office at the church, and I would just kneel down. I had a sofa there in the office, and I would kneel down at that, and I would just kneel. I'm doing what I can. Now, here's the good thing. I knew from the Word of God that my Father loved me. He loves you when you're broken down. He loves you when you're full of zip. My wife has been ill and wrestling with some things, and I do not expect anything out of her that she's not able to do. In fact, if I'm able to do it, I do it. I cook, I know how to wash, I know how to iron. Mother said, you're not leaving home till you know how to do these things. So I learn. So I do that for my wife, and I support her. She is no less my wife because of that. And you and me are no less his children. Because I'm so weary on a Wednesday night, I can't even think straight. I'm so weary on a Wednesday night about my business, about my children, about my home, about what I don't have enough money to take care of. He loves you just like that. Just like, in fact, if you'll search the scriptures, did you know that God loves you and me just like he loved Jesus? Now you think about that long and hard. I'm not second class. I'm not second rate. He loves me just like he loved Jesus. How about that? If you can think about that, and that's our problem. We don't think about it because we got to get back over to this other mechanism, which is our chemistry. how we're feeling, what's going on all around us. Oh, my God, the rain's falling. It's liable to flood again. Jesus, help my God, Lord. I don't know if I ought to get out tonight or not, dear Lord. It looks like it's going to rain right over here. Oh, Jesus, instead of just calming yourself with His Word. And I know how it feels. It seems like it's not real. It's just the Bible. Lord, these clouds are real. The call from the bank, that's what's real. What the doctor said, Lord, that is what is real to me right now, because we have been so schooled in our circumstances, in our environment, instead of feeding on His Word and saying, Jesus, I'm going to go with what You said. You said You loved me. You said You forgave me a long time ago. You said that You would take care of everything. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know if any of y'all, how many of you ever heard of the, he was Baptist, E.V. Hill. He's gone on to his reward. He was raised poor in Mississippi. And his mother said, son, you're going to school. And so he went to through his eighth grade. And some of the elders of their community came around and told his mother, said, E.V., now he's got 8 years of school. That's enough. He needs to get out here in the cotton fields and start working, helping make a living. She said, nope, he's going to high school. Oh, no, that's not the right thing. No, she said, my son is going to high school. And so she sent him off to school and said, son, I'm praying for you. God will supply every one of our needs. So he finished high school. The elders of the community came around again and said, you know, it's time now. He's done well, very educated. He got 12 classes behind him. And he said, by the way, I was first in my class because I was the only one in my class. And so they said, it's time for him to go to work in the fields. She said, no, my son is going to college. And they said, how are you going to send him to college? You don't have any money. She said, God will provide. And she packed him a lunch, I think, gave him, just a few dollars, $20, something like that. Sent him on his way to the college. He got there and he had $2 maybe in his pocket left. He's standing in the line and he knows that when he gets to the front of the line, that's when they're going to ask for some money, for his tuition, for his books. He's standing there and the devil is speaking on one side. It's not going to work. You're a fool. You're going to be embarrassed in front of all these people. On the other side, he hears his mother, son, I'm praying for you. God will provide. Come on. He moves a step up and the same words are spoken again. Satan says, you're a fool. You're going to be embarrassed. Other side, he hears, son, I'm praying for you. God will provide. He's next to the front of the line. He's second one in line. And a great big man walks up to him and said, are you Mr. Hill? He said, yes, I am. He said, come with me. He steps out and said, here I have a portfolio that says you have a 4-year scholarship. All tuition and books are paid. There's tremendous options that we face. Tremendous forces of doubt. Satan reinforces them with everything he can, with signs, with television, with music, everything he can to use to soak us, to saturate us, to doubt, disbelieve. But if the Word of God is our number one source, and we cling to it, and we speak it in the face of apparent defeat, guess what? God will come through. Hallelujah to God. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your precious people here tonight, many of whom have served you for a long, long time to the best of their ability. They have suffered, oh God. They have tried to do their best. They have prayed. They've fasted. They've just kept coming to church when they had no desire to do so, Lord. And we pray that tonight, somehow or another, the truth of your word may slip into the minds of every soul here, and they may make a decision to take up your word and decide to live by it rather than doctors' reports and bankers' reports and government reports and all kind of things that this world is speaking. Lord, for we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you, Lord. And we decree tonight that every person will hear it and do it in Jesus' mighty name. Can we thank the Lord together right now? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if you can't think any